Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. The end,
at least theoretically, we'll see if he actually shows up on Monday,
of the Tausch Spring Sabbatical Edition.
We've got so many great cousin subs of the day, cousin subs we believe in better, that are willing to step into the breach. Thank you all for your service, sincerely. Not as sacrificial as the things that our fighting men and women across our military do, but still appreciated edition.
And the I can't wait for reverse cam in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios to see if today's cousin sub of the day has donned his gold jacket edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, sometimes Twitter, sometimes Facebook, always on YouTube, or almost always, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And he is joined there by the Pro Football Hall of Famer. And he makes us all feel very fit whenever he fills in. I've got my Joe Thomas Goodwill jersey on.
Oh, man, look at that.
Who on earth would give up such a valuable piece of memorabilia? It is Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day. Joseph, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here. It's great to be with you, finally, without Tausch derailing our conversation and the show. And this is just going to be the joy that I didn't even know I needed that I needed.
It does irritate me that in the rare instances where I take a day off, and it could be Dan Orlovsky, but it never is, his first call is always to you. So you fill in, and that's great, because two great tackles, one greater than the other, together is great. I love it. But then I feel that FOMO. That fear of missing out, and I'm missing out. I miss out on Gotham Bagels. I miss out on, apparently there's some Hall of Fame beef sticks that are there.
Oh, yeah.
I miss out on everything. I miss out on great barbecue from Mission Barbecue. But, hey, we've got you for 3 hours. I couldn't be more thrilled. I am curious to start, though. Your hat says Hall of Fame beef. I wouldn't say that I have Hall of Fame beef with you, or any beef whatsoever. I am just curious, where's the gold jacket? Like, I wore my jersey. Hey, I'm here. I'm supporting the Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Where is it? How often do you wear it? Do you let the kids wear it around with, like, smocks when they're, like, painting? How does it work when you have a gold jacket from the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, I was looking for that Jason Wilde gold jacket at Goodwill, but unfortunately, apparently that's a much more in-demand item because I couldn't find any there, so I had to just go with this regular old black shirt. However, I think it's very special that I get this opportunity to speak with a man who has found a Joe Thomas jersey in Goodwill. And I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of them out there, but thank you for inviting me because I'm always available and I'm very cheap. Free is a great price for the Cousins sub of the day. And to your first question, I do like letting my kids wear the Hall of Fame jacket. I do feel a little bit like embarrassed sometimes because not everybody has them. And, you know, when you wear it, it does grab a lot of attention. As a lineman from Wisconsin, we don't always look for that attention. But I do love when I've got it around the house because I have to do an event or something and I'll let the kids wear it and then they kind of fight over it a little bit. But the good news is, the NFL just gave us a new Hall of Fame jacket this year. They were kind of transitioning the styles. They're updating them a little bit, you know, from sort of like your old grandpa's non-flexible, really heavy coats to a more lightweight, comfortable flex fit type gold jacket. And so I have two of them now. So if the kids do get some Chick-fil-A sauce on my Hall of Fame jacket, it's okay because I got a replacement because I got a copy of the copy.
And we know, especially when the Hall of Fame is knocking at your door and Walter Jones is waiting, sometimes you've been known to be running around in your underwear and you got to get ready for that.
Yes.
I am curious, though, in all seriousness, like how often do you wear it? Like what events? I always ask Charles Woodson and I did an event at Lambeau Field a year and a half ago. And I was hoping he was going to wear it to the event. And you know how cool he is and how fashionable he is. He did not wear an ascot, and he didn't wear the jacket either. Mm. What are the socially acceptable times for you to wear that?
Yeah, so I'll put it on your producer, Jesse, because if he asks me to, then I'm allowed to wear it. The NFL Hall of Fame is actually fairly specific about when you can wear the jacket, right? They don't tell you, like, you can do this or that, but they say, use your best discretion. Don't just go wear it around all the time. You know, treat it sort of like a family heirloom keepsake that it is and the special item that it represents, the career that you've put in, making it to the Hall of Fame. And so they really want to make sure that you're wearing it for only special events. You know, you're not wearing it for date night with the wife, going to the local movie theater. And so I get excited when I get to wear it because it is those special events. You get an opportunity when you are representing the Hall of Fame, when you're representing yourself in the capacity of a Hall of Famer at an appearance or a speaking engagement, and somebody asks you to wear it. It is really cool because then it for a guy from Wisconsin, you know, we're a little bit ashamed sometimes or humble about, you know, the success you've had in sports. And so in my mind, when a guy like Jesse says, hey, wear your jacket, I'm like, awesome. Yes, I have that box that I can check in my mind now that it's socially acceptable. The Hall of Fame's not going to get mad if I wear this today because I was asked by my boss to show up and wear the jacket. Yes, my boss behind that glass that's I could kick his butt at any moment. So he knows that, which is a good boss to have. He understands you can tell me what to do, but don't go too far. Don't go taking this thing ridiculous level because there might be some hell to pay. But maybe next time if Jesse reminds me.
I love that we could blame Jesse for not getting to see it.
Yeah, this is a new one that I've been blamed for a lot of things over the years. This is a new one, but I'll make sure to remind you next time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're thrilled to have you. I am going to take off my jersey because my actual plan after finding it for $6.99.
Oh, wow, that's expensive.
Still with the tags is to have
with
you sign it for the girls and put it in a frame your wise words of wisdom and motivation, because I know you're great about that. So I will put this family in a safer location and we'll talk less fashion and more about football. I do want to get to a few things with you today because we are lucky enough to have you and a guy that can command such a salary doing this for free is sums you up in a very good way. So we appreciate that. Not only that, but then you bring food all the time.
Food, football, family. That's pretty much been my entire life.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yep.
And I do want to get into, for those that don't get to hear you regularly, I don't miss enough days for you to come in frequently to help out Tausch. I do want to get into a little bit what you're up to, because I think that there, when I look at you, you seem to have, and the key word being seem, figured it out in terms of your transition from football to your second act. But I know that that's not necessarily true, and that there are challenges for guys when they make that transition. And even though you maybe make it easy, maybe it's not as easy as you've made it look. So I want to get into that. I want to get into your view of the college sports landscape, the Badger men's basketball team just having its season come to an end. I'm reading stories from Jim Polzine in the State Journal about Nolan Winter wanting to stick around and John Blackwell wanting to stick around and John Tonjay being able to deliver testimonials to other players that are looking for NIL and transfer portal opportunities. And I'm hopeful, but I'm still scared, you know whatless, about the way college basketball and college football looks. So I know you've got insight on that. So we're excited to have you. Did you bring Jesse his own Hall of Fame beef sticks, or is he going to have to share with the rest of the ESPN Madison team?
I mean, in preschool as an only child, I was complimented for my sharing abilities. I feel like I've translated pretty well into my adult life in that same way, but I would love to have my own Hall of Fame beef. So I know there are some packages that are sitting out on the desks out in the office, and I plan on going to smuggle one entirely for myself during our next commercial break. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I've got you pegged pretty good. All right, Joe.
And I think Joe has me pegged that way too, and so he probably brought enough to accommodate for that, if I had to guess.
Yes, and it fits with every health plan that you're on, whatever diet you like. If you're eating Hall of Fame beef sticks, it's all beautiful, great grass-fed, grain-finished ingredients down by the banks of the Blue River in Wisconsin, and you get these normal beef sticks, and they're full of all sorts of fillers and stuff. This is just good old-fashioned quality Hall of Fame beef, and tastes amazing. And it's got no carbs, basically. So, like, if you're watching your weight, if you're a person that's a performance guy and you need the protein, it checks both boxes.
Well, I can't wait for you to open up Hall of Fame donuts, so it's speed.
Yes, they're coming next. Food, family, football. Remember that, Jason.
The great Joe Thomas is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. He is subbing for Tausch, who will tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and then we'll be back with Joe Thomas. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Well, we talk a lot about the unprecedented quality and service you get from Pella. But talking to the people who work there, you can tell how much they genuinely love what they do. Pella's team is with you from start to finish. They don't disappear after the sale. Right now, take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month and doors as low as $89 per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends March 31st, 2025. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now, throw my heart on the ground. You can hurt me tomorrow.
I still can't believe that Joe Thomas referred to Jesse as his boss. But hey, Jesse, I appreciate the fact that you espouse Dick Bennett's five pillars, or at least, I don't know, one of them. Humility, passion, unity, servanthood, and thankfulness. At least servanthood, you got him a cup of coffee. So good work by you.
I did do that.
Also, if we get double Jesse in the video.
The amount of time, we had an issue there. The amount of times that Tausch has asked me to get him a cup of coffee, and we've had issues with that coffee machine, and we've heard all about it here on the show. This is a nice change of pace. That it was just, here's a cup of coffee. Thank you. And we were able to move on. That was nice.
So is Tausch a coffee diva, or was there an actual issue with the making of the coffee?
There have been many times he's come in and the coffee machine just doesn't work.
That's frustrating.
When he hasn't stopped at Quick Trip and gotten a coffee on the way in, which he's learned now, he just does that. And usually that checks all the boxes for us. But when he's done that, it has resulted in some consternation. Mold tea.
I'm not going to call him a diva, but I'm not going to stop you from calling him one.
Yes.
So, Joe, I think it's one of my favorite memories of covering you and knowing you is your draft day story. And with the draft coming to Green Bay and what it has become, the spectacle it has become, I find myself wondering if you were a prospect in 2025 instead of in 2007, if the NFL would have tried to twist your very muscular arm into, hey, that's cute. You want to go fishing? That's nice. What a family man. But we need your butt on stage. Remind people how you spent your draft day, and then I'm curious what your view is of the, I mean, it's in Green Bay, which is obviously a huge deal, but your view of what it has now become since then, because it has gone far beyond what it was in 2007.
Oh, yeah. It's way more of a spectacle now than in 2007 when I was drafted. In 2007, they only invited five guys to the draft. So Gil Brandt, I think, was the scout that was in charge of basically looking at all the prospects and figuring out, okay, who do I think are going to be the top five guys that go? And, you know, occasionally if there was another quarterback that they wanted there as part of the show, they would bring him there. But then if you go back 20, 30 years, the draft was not even covered on TV, right? It really wasn't a spectacle at all until the NFL realized, oh, hey, we can make some money here. We can sell some tickets. We can put it on TV. There's a lot of people that are really interested in this, and it's quite a show. I mean, there's no game. So I think initially they were like, you know, nobody's going to watch it. There's nothing at stake from like a wins and losses standpoint. But then they realized, you know what, for all these teams like the Cleveland Browns and these people that aren't making the playoffs, this is their Super Bowl. This is their opportunity to feel like they won. And for the most part, I would say 80% of the teams that leave the draft, they feel like they won, right? Everyone's like, hey, you know, we checked our boxes. We got the players that we identified, because that's always the message that the team gives you at the end of the draft. Ah, you know, we had these players identified and we were really lucky. We would have taken them higher. You always hear that. How many times do you hear that? Well, we were going to take him in the second round, but, you know, we're just so smart. We knew he would fall to the sixth round, like with Brady. Like, oh, the Patriots knew he was going to be the greatest quarterback ever, but they just knew he'd fall to the sixth round so they could wait on him. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, right. Whatever. But it's so much more of a spectacle now. And it's great for the players that have that dream since they were kids, because they did grow up watching the draft on TV. They did grow up dreaming of that moment where they were birthed into the NFL and they got a chance to hug Roger Goodell. But that wasn't me as a kid. Like, I never remember watching the draft probably ever in my life until I was actually an NFL player. And so when they asked me in 2007 to go to the draft, I told Gil Brandt, he called me up. He's like, all excited. Hey, Joe, you know, we're really excited. We want to let you know that we're going to have you to New York for the draft. And, you know, you can come out 2 or 3 days early. We got all these opportunities for you to wear a suit and get in front of the camera and market yourself and all this stuff. And he kind of was like, hey, Joe, are you there? Because there was this long pause on the phone. And I was like, well, Gil, I already have plans. I'm going fishing with my dad. I can't be there. And then there was another long pause. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, if you get invited, you go. I don't think either one of us had ever considered the outcome that was going to happen. Like, he never considered somebody would be invited and not want to go. And I never considered that I would be invited and want to go. Because, well, on Saturday morning, which the first round used to be on Saturday morning.
Right.
I go fishing with my dad. And, like, I'm pretty sure after I get drafted, the team's going to be holding my feet to the fire to show up like immediately to start training and working, especially as a first round pick. They're going to want you there. And I'm like, I don't know when the next chance is going to be that I'm going to get on Lake Michigan and get to go salmon fishing with my dad. And so I certainly don't want to waste it getting paraded around New York in a suit that I don't have, that I'm going to have to go out and spend a bunch of money on and find all these marketing endorsements for an offensive lineman, which, you know, newsflash, I'm not Patrick Mahomes. I'm not exactly killing it at the bank. bank, you know, doing Arby's and Hardee's commercials or the chicken nugget commercials with Andy Reid. So, like, I had no interest whatsoever. And actually, he called again and invited me again. And then I still said no. And then, like, the third call, he played bad cop. He was like, look, these teams are going to think you're a diva if you don't show up. Like, the NFL needs you there. This is part of the production. And I told him, I said, Gil, I'm not an employee of the NFL. You can say whatever you want, but I'm not going to the draft. I'm going fishing with my dad. And I think he, at that point, finally realized, like, this dude's serious. Like, this is not a show. This is nothing. Like, he just doesn't have any interest at all, and he'd rather be fishing with his dad. And I was like, absolutely. And I said, if you have any more questions, concerns, comments, considerations, this is my agent, Peter Schaefer. This is his number. You can talk to him because he's already said it's fine. My only stipulation is he wanted to make sure that I had my cell phone with me because he said, he gave me this long story, and this is, sorry, it's a long story, but he said, like 30 years ago, as of today, maybe it was, you know, 10 years at the time, there was a player that had been drafted by a team who, like, passed away a couple days before the draft, and nobody knew about it. This was later in the rounds. And so he said, also, guys have gotten arrested, like, the night before the draft for significant, serious things, gotten injured doing dumb stuff. And so, before they draft you, this is what my agent told me, he's like, they want to be able to talk to you on the phone, and they're going to ask you, are you healthy? Has anything changed with your health or legal status since the last time we talked? And they just want to confirm everything before they actually put the pick in, because they obviously don't want to have that embarrassment of, you know, drafting a guy who just had some major thing that would affect his draft status happen within the last couple days before the draft. So I said, yep, no problem, we'll fish close to shore, I'll have my cell phone, I'll make sure that my Motorola flip phone is working. And if you ever go back and you see, like, the NFL films or the NFL Network show that they did on the draft, and they've got some video of me on the boat, you can see, like, that old school Motorola flip phone, no texting capabilities. The number came in from a 440 area code in Berea, Ohio, and answered that. And then Romeo Crennel and Phil Savage said, hey, would you like to be a Brown? Absolutely. I'll be there as soon as I'm done reeling in this Brown trout.
And in fairness to you, by the way, this was, I mean, I don't know if you got any fishing endorsements out of the deal, but, like, this was so great for the NFL, right? I mean, it was such a great look for you, and I know you didn't do it because it was a good look, it was because you love your dad and you have a tradition and you weren't going to change that even for the draft, but wouldn't you agree that that turned out to be great for the NFL? And I mean, who doesn't want a guy who, instead of the bright lights, big city of New York, chooses to go fishing with his dad on draft day? Like, they had to be thanking you after the fact. God, Joe, that was great. I mean, they had a camera there, didn't they? What? There was video of you on the boat, wasn't there?
Yeah, so that was one of the stipulations because, you know, after they realized I wasn't going there, like, can we have a live feed on the boat and get your reaction? I was like, no, that's not why I'm doing this. But I said, you know, to record it for posterity, someday my kids will want to watch that moment. I said, we can have one camera on the boat who's just recording footage. And then once we're done fishing, I don't want them to bother me. I'm not doing any, like, B-roll or any setup or any, you know, second takes of catching this fish. I'm fishing. If they want to record it, that's fine. But, like, nothing live. And then you guys can take your video to shore and do whatever you want with it. That's fine. And so that was kind of the agreement that we came to. But shout out to Eric Thomas, my dad, great dad, Brookfield, Wisconsin, always taking me fishing Saturday mornings on Lake Michigan. And it became a big tradition of ours. And to your point, Roger Goodell ended up talking to me, like, several years later, because I would see him at a lot of events and stuff. And he said, you know, what a great thing for you to go fishing with your dad. And he basically leaned into what you were saying about, you know, at the time, they were just starting to make it a big TV event.
Right.
And a couple years before, if you remember, Aaron Rodgers, he dropped in the draft.
Ugh.
And he's sitting there in the green room sweating it out. And, like, everybody's worried. And it makes for great drama. It is. And the year of my draft, that happened to Brady Quinn. And so I think they were so focused on creating this TV product that they weren't thinking long range down the road, where a guy like me, who wasn't doing it for any reason other than I'd rather be fishing with my dad.
Right.
But to tell the story of these NFL players that, you know what, we do have a variety of interests. We come from a lot of different backgrounds. That's what makes this game special. We got little kickers who are 5'6", 160 pounds running around, and we got guys that I played with my rookie year in the NFL, Ted Washington, who's 6'5", 400 pounds. We got guys from the country. We got guys from Canada. We got guys from Germany. We got guys from the city. We got guys from all over the world. So there's a position, no matter what you look like or who you are or where you come from, that if you're great, you can find a place to play on an NFL team. And I think they're starting to understand that by how they're telling the stories of the players. And they realize that that's what fans want, right? Fans don't want just some monochromatic view of every NFL player. They all do this. They look like this. They come from this background. Like, the beauty of the NFL to me is the diversity that we have in every aspect that you can measure. And for them to have a guy that just wanted to be with his family, be with his dad and go fishing, like, that was a great story for them that now they've told way more than if I would have just been there for 5 minutes holding up the jersey in New York and giving Roger Goodell a hug.
Right. I mean, I saw it brought back up when you went into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Like, that was one of the, you know, for all the other things that you've accomplished and all the things that make us love you as a teammate and as a friend, it is one of the signature moments of your journey in football. And by the way, did you have to stage actual fish that were caught, or did you have a successful day on the water?
It was a successful day. So for those of you salmon and trout fanatics that fish Lake Michigan, April is a bit early. The water is just a little cold. Like, it's not exactly perfect timing to go fishing, but that's what we were going to do. And so we got, I think, one really nice brown trout, like a 10-pounder. So it was a really nice fish, and I think we got one lake trout. And my argument to this day is that we would have caught more, but I got drafted third, so we had to cut the trip a little shorter than we expected.
Do you remember who the camera person was?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure you do. If you're asking that question, I cannot remember, unfortunately.
Because I'd like to know that.
It was him.
I don't know if it was. It wasn't me. I don't want to tell you how old I was at all. I feel bad.
Thanks.
I'd love to hear that person's story someday. Like, if that person is still around, like, who drew the assignment? Okay, everyone else is at the draft. I got to go on the boat with this guy.
Well,
and not talk to him and not stage anything and not say anything to him.
It was probably the easiest gig he ever had. He's like, I get to sit on the boat. I get to drink pop and sit here on the back and, like, just film a little bit, like 2 minutes of cuts. Like, that's pretty easy. And I don't even have to get him to say anything. Like, usually if you're producing and your video and you're doing all that yourself, like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. You're trying to get a piece. Like, we need to get, you know, three segments or whatever. And for this guy, they were like, we have no expectations at all. Like, just be there, get some shots of him talking on the phone and catching a fish, and we're happy.
I would say, just in defense of the NFL, as it turned out, that draft class, the number one overall pick, of course, was Jamarcus Russell. Number two was Calvin Johnson, who is in Canton with you, right? After you at number three, Gaines Adams, Levi Brown, LaRon Landry, and Adrian Peterson. So those were the top seven picks that year. So I would have wanted you there, too, from a TV perspective. But the fishing trip was far, far superior.
Never realized how boom or bust that entire top seven or eight was.
You go through that entire draft. It's actually pretty interesting. And obviously, I have a great deal of bias because I was in that draft. But it was incredibly boom or bust with, like you said, Jamarcus Russell. The name that comes up a lot of times as one of the biggest busts of all time was number one overall when they could have taken Calvin Johnson. They could have taken Adrian Peterson. Patrick Willis, another Hall of Famer. How about Marshawn Lynch? Could have had him. He was okay. And you just go down the list, and it's just
Darrell Revis that draft.
Shut him. Yeah, jeez. Shut him down. Leon Hall had a pretty good career in Cincinnati. Joe Staley, another multiple Pro Bowl tackle. So Greg Olsen. You go down the list, and like, you either hit the ball out of the park, or you had a guy that was out of the NFL in 3-4 years.
Speaking of guys that were out of the NFL in 3 or 4 years, the Packers pick at number 16 was Justin Harrell. And the Browns were trying to trade up to take Brady Quinn at that pick. The Packers had an offer for their first rounder that year and the following year, and they passed it up because they had to have Justin Harrell.
Ouch.
That one did not work out particularly well. All right. The draft is coming to Green Bay, as I mentioned. We'll talk a little more about all the other experiences Joe had throughout his journey in the NFL. But the draft is right around the corner. They're starting to put up the stage. They're starting to take out parts of like fences and things that are along the Oneida Street. So it is definitely coming up very quickly. And of course, Verizon is going to give you a chance to be there for it with the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. 10 lucky winners will win tickets to the first day of the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay, and you're not allowed to go fishing instead. Here's what you do get: a round-trip car service from Milwaukee, hotel accommodations, plus access to the Verizon viewing zone where you'll be taken care of like a first-round pick. So don't miss your chance to win the ultimate draft experience powered by Verizon. But hurry to select Wisconsin Verizon locations so you can enter by April 13th. More with Joe Thomas, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Brewers baseball is in the air.
It's back, and it is up, and it is gone. A walk-off homer for Vinny Capra.
Spring back into the baseball season on 100.5 ESPN, Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
With Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. And I just came across, as I Googled the fish story, a photo of you and your dad, and you must be five, maybe? I mean, you're a hulk of a man, so I don't know if you were big as a kid, too. You might only be like a year and a half old, but you're holding a giant fish, and you're wearing an unbelievably fashionable pink ensemble, so
yes.
I really like that.
Yes, I know that picture.
So that's it's proof that that is a history thing with you and your pops. That's not just a, that was not that. Goes to show it was not for show.
No, I was doing that because that's what we did on Saturdays. That was like what I looked forward to all week. My dad had like a little 17-foot I don't even know what kind of boat it was, Grumman or something like that, with like a 88 Johnson motor on the back, and he used to take a boat cushion because we used to fish from like, we'd get up at 3 and we'd be on the water by like 4, and then, you know, you're 5 years old, you're a little tired at that time in the morning, and so he'd give me a boat cushion and just throw it on the side, and I'd go up and I'd sleep in the front until we caught something, and then he'd holler to me and I'd get to reel it in. It was the best. I wish I could still do that. Hey, wake me up when the fish is on and I'll reel it in for you.
Well, we love that story. I think there's going to be more folks that are going to have questions for you. So, Jesse, if you want to start curating some of those, I know you're one of those people that doesn't like to hear how great you are, as opposed to Jesse, who always wants to hear that as he eats his beef stick.
I appreciate that, Jesse. There's a 20 in your locker.
Apple cheddar, it's good.
The apple cheddar is my kid's favorite. They're pissed I'm bringing it here. And I didn't say waste, but they were saying waste. It on my friends at ESPN Wisconsin.
I love the fact that you, of all the people that would get the ones that your kids like, it's Jesse.
Take that,
he's
Thomas
my boss.
Take
he's
that.
My boss. I got to treat my boss well.
So we're excited to have you. We will take, if folks have other questions, you could text them to the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. We'll also monitor the YouTube comments and Twitter and Facebook, so you can get those questions in. I do have one question that I wanted to get to, so not to say to get it out of the way, but you made a statement when this whole drama with Myles Garrett was going on. And Myles Garrett, well, he either followed your advice or he followed the money. Or maybe both. Because he ended up staying in Cleveland after demanding a trade. And now he's got a contract with a no-trade clause in it, which I'm not sure I understand. What do you make of that scenario? Because much like I can't say a young Jason Wilde because it wasn't that long ago. But much like I held out hope that in the waning years of your career, after you weren't traded to the Broncos, that you'd be traded to the Packers, and I would cover you for a year, he's now staying in Cleveland the way you did. I'm curious how you view that, and as someone who, while you may be a Packers fan from birth, you're obviously a Browns fan, how do you view that for the Browns' future?
When you mentioned Jesse's name, I thought you were going to tell me that he demanded a trade this offseason as well, and you were hoping he was going to leave.
They've been hoping that for a while.
Yeah, I jumped at that.
I got a clause, too.
Yeah, exactly. So after this all came out and Miles said, you know, he wants to be traded, I reached out to him because we have a bit of a relationship. He was a rookie in my last year, and then I got hurt my tricep tendon, and stuck around the team, and I loved the coach. I loved the mentor guys, and he was obviously great. So I was like, well, this will be fun. Like, I could tell this guy to do anything, and he can do it, which is not usually true with even pro athletes, but it was really fun. So I kind of helped him that season break down the tackles he was going to go against, give him ideas of, you know, these are the moves that they're going to have a hard time with. This is how you should set it up, so on and so forth. And so we've had a relationship, and I reached out to him and just said, hey, look, as – one of the old guys in Cleveland that gets asked a lot of questions by the media and by fans, like, what's the message you want me to give to them? I'm not here to, like, try to change your mind, because I don't think that works. I think all that does is sort of fray a relationship, a friendship that you have, if you're going to just come in with the team and the fan base's best interest in mind and say, what are you doing? You got to stay. That's how you find yourself on the blocked caller list if you're going to do that. But I just reached out and I said, hey man, is there anything I can do? But I want to know, like, what's the message you want me to give to the fan base? And he said, just let them know that it's not about money. It's, I really want to go and find a championship. And I said, okay. So that's what I relayed to everybody. And then I also relayed my own story and how meaningful it was for me to be able to play my entire career in one location, to be able to go into the Hall of Fame as one of the few guys in nowadays NFL that gets a chance to play their entire career for one fan base. And I thought, you know, that was really special to me. And so later on, I relayed that to Miles, like my experience, how special it was, how cool it was that if anybody thinks of me in my football career, they think of me as a Cleveland Brown. And I'm forever attached to that fan base in Cleveland. And if you go somewhere else and think you're going to be able to win a championship because they look good on paper and I'm going to go here or there, like, it doesn't happen like that in the NFL. So if you leave, if you're Miles and you go and leave and try to play for, let's say, the Eagles, who are completely stacked, which I don't know how they could afford him, but let's say he went there, like, what are the chances they repeat and win again? Like, in the NFL, it is really, 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 really hard to consistently win. And it's even much harder if you don't have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You look at the last 20 years, right? Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Tom Brady with the New England Patriots. Like, they've dominated because of the greatness of the quarterback position, but they still don't win the Super Bowl every year when they were at their best. And so guys all the time try to go find a team, and they pick that team. They think they're going to go win a championship, and it doesn't work out the way they had hoped. And then not only did you leave the team that drafted you, so you never have that ability when you're old and gray sitting in that rocking chair to have the pride of knowing that I played for one organization and that is my second home, which I think is very special, especially as you get older. But now you've left them. They despise you because they feel like you're a traitor, and you've gone to another place who's like, hey, you promised us a championship when you came here and you didn't win one. So now they don't even really like you. So it's like you're now a man without a home. And I think I didn't say this to Miles, because by the time the news broke that he was coming back to Cleveland, I didn't have to say anything. But I'm like, he is close with LeBron. And I'm like, depending on the answer you want is who you're going to ask the question to. So you're going to ask LeBron, hey, should I leave Cleveland and chase a championship? What do you think he's going to say? Of course he's going to say, yes, you should, because that was his story. That was what he did, and then he ended up coming back to Cleveland and winning a championship. But the NBA and the NFL are completely different, obviously. With the NBA, you have so much more impact if you put two or three great players together. Then you can kind of go chase a championship. But even then, I would imagine that if you ask LeBron, like, what's more meaningful, winning it in Cleveland or going and creating a super team and winning it in Miami? Like, if you don't put in the work and you don't build something from the ground up, and this is true in any walk of life, like, the meaning behind it that's long-lasting won't be there. But if you win a championship in Cleveland and you turn a team that's never won a championship from the beginning of the Super Bowl era, and you take this team when you were a rookie and you build and you create something special and you win a championship, that is the ultimate notch on your belt in pro sports. Just showing up and having a ring, yeah, that's great. And a lot of players want to tell you how great it is, but it's not nearly as meaningful as if you were there when the hard work was being done and you were changing the culture of an organization and you were forcing and forging your teammates into a team that went and built it and won a championship.
So when I look at Packers who started elsewhere and then won titles, right? Like, obviously Reggie White, but there were a few others on that team, Santana, Dotson, etc. Charles Woodson, right? But both of those guys, they didn't just arrive and then they won the title the next year. They were part of what you're talking about. So for you, is there any void at all with everything you've accomplished, including the now two gold jackets since they have redesigned them? Do you watch the Super Bowl every year, and is there a little pang of, God, I wish I would have just gotten to play in one of those, or, I mean, maybe even just a playoff game?
Ouch.
I'm
low blow there.
He does that.
I appreciate that.
That's part of my brand.
I never made the playoffs.
So is there any of that, or, like, is it just, hey, I had the career I had, it was a blessing, it was great, but it would have been nice to have that on there, too.
When I walk around the streets of Cleveland and I back there going to sporting events, going fishing on Lake Erie, and, you know, you run into fans all the time. And the thing you hear more than anything is, like, they always would say to you, hey, just one before I die, right? They've never won a Super Bowl. This is one of the most passionate fan bases in the country. And really the only sadness, regret that I have in my career is that I wasn't able to be there to win a Super Bowl for those fans. And I say that twofold. One, because I think the fan base is very deserving. They love their team. It is what you do in Cleveland. It is who you are, much like Green Bay. It's a bigger city than Green Bay, but the passion is the same. Like, what are you going to do on game day? Like, nothing's going on. There's no bars. I mean, the bars are open. There's nobody that's going in the grocery store. There's no one going to the regular stores. Like, everybody's watching the game. That's what everybody talks about on Monday. If you win, everybody's having a great Monday. If you lose, everybody's miserable till the next game. And so for me, like, that's the only sadness that I have, is, like, not being able to win a championship and bring one to Cleveland, which is what my whole career was based on, right? It was, hey, I want to win a championship in Cleveland. I want to be here, because that will be the most special thing that anybody could ever do in their career, is be drafted by a team, especially a team that's never won a Super Bowl, and be there and be part of the building process, win a Super Bowl for that city, that team. Like, that's meaningful to me as a servant. Like, we were talking earlier about the transition to post-career, like, what you're doing and trying to find happiness and being content. And, like, for me, I found I was lucky because I got right into the media world and I had a lot of other opportunities that were great. But I realized pretty quickly that what makes me happy is not doing things for myself, but doing things for other people, mm-hmm. being a great servant for my wife, my kids, my family, my community. And that's what I try to do every single day when I wake up. And it gives me great joy because I feel like I'm working for somebody else. And it was the mindset I had on the offensive line, right? I'm not working for me to go make another Pro Bowl. Like, I'm working for that running back who's in his third year, who wants to get that big contract to set his family up for life, because I care about him. And if I'm doing it for him, I'm going to work and play so much harder and better than if I'm doing it for myself. And so I think that is the thing that it was tough in my career, was just not being able to win one for those fans, not being able to seal the deal and, like, finish what I started. But in the end, like, I can't do anything about it. Like, I played pretty well. I kind of did what I could. I did what I felt like was my best job. And you know, it wasn't enough in the time. And so I don't really have any regrets, and I don't watch the Super Bowl with any bitterness or anything. And it's been easy for me to transition to being 100% fan and business owner and coach and dad and all the things that I am now, the identities that I've adapted. And I never feel any like sadness, because I always felt like I gave everything I had on the football field. I did everything I possibly could. And you know what? Not everybody gets to win a Super Bowl. Just the way it is.
I love what you said there, and I you know, I would never say that you and I are similar in very many ways.
Go ahead,
at least until Hall of Fame donuts open.
Yes.
But I don't think people realize, and look, obviously Dick Bennett is someone that I just admire and adore so much. And when I talk about his pillars, I was talking to Mike Kelly a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about how we've got to get him into the Basketball Hall of Fame. But the servanthood thing, I think what people don't understand, because I'm wired the exact same way with Paula and the girls and other, like, here's the cool thing about that is what you just said. You still manage to get something really great, and that is the feeling of doing things for others, that's a high in and of itself. Like, yeah, personal accomplishment is great, but when you get to, there's a weird selfishness to being unselfish. Like, you get to feel so true. That happiness of what you were able to help someone else experience. So the fact that you do that, I mean, you know what high regard I hold you in, but for you to articulate that today on the show, I hope more people hear that, because I do look around the world, and I do not want to turn this into any sort of statement on anything, but there's a lot of people that are looking out for only themselves. And I think we need more people like Joe Thomas. Not more people like me, but definitely more people like Joe Thomas that are driven by that. All right, we need to get to trivia. I don't want to get all sappy here. So, Jesse, is it Joe Thomas trivia? Is that what we're doing?
Nah, we've done that before. We don't need to go down
that route.
How
did people fare in that when we've done that? Was it one of those where people didn't do very well?
They struggled.
A lot of the basic facts I think everybody's got down
pretty
clearly.
What is Joe's favorite color?
I don't even think I know some of these answers, right?
Talking about the NFL draft coming up in Green Bay, and of course we'll talk more about that as the show continues. Name the city of that NFL draft.
Oh.
Is today's trivia category.
Ooh,
so looking
okay.
back on the last decade or so of drafts that have bounced around the country, name the city of that NFL draft.
All right. Joe wore 73 with the Browns. We're not going to ask for caller 73, but that adds up to 10. And then with the Badgers, he wore 72. So that's 9. So caller 19, because we want to make Jesse work a little bit. Was 72 not available when you got to Cleveland?
Correct. So when I got to Cleveland, Ryan Tucker was the starting right tackle. He had 72, and being a young boy from Wisconsin who did not have NIL money, I came in the locker room, and he's like an 11-year vet, and I think he was pretty excited. All right, third overall pick. This guy's got a lot of money, and he was like, hey, I'm number 72, but you can have it for 10 grand. And I went right into the equipment room. And I go, what's the closest number that's available to 72? Because I'll take it.
And saved yourself $10,000.
Yeah, that's right. Imagine what that could do right now. That $10,000 in 2017, if you would have just put it in the stock market, it's probably 100 now.
Could have put it into lures for fishing.
Yeah, imagine all the fishing lures you get for 100 grand.
All right, so caller 19 for trivia, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next after Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Light. Stick around with Joe Thomas as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Well, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're on the Badgers.
It was successful, but also disappointing. That's just what this season was. I don't think any of us went into the season going, they're going to be a three seed. They're going to be really good this year. They're going to be competing for a Big Ten championship again.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
I say go, baby, go, go, go.
Let's play some trivia. And not only is it special that Joe Thomas will be asking question number two, but it's always special when we have a first-time contestant. Let's welcome in Sean and Madison. Sean, good morning. Welcome to trivia. How you doing?
Good morning.
Today?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. It's 70 and sunny out. Let's go.
Well. And you've got Joe Thomas asking you a question. What more could you ask for?
You know you're in Wisconsin when you comment on the weather first. I love it. A man after my own heart. Let's go.
And when it was 31 degrees yesterday. All right. So question number one, the category, as Jesse has already told you, is name the city of that NFL draft. Question number one is this. The host site for the 2022 NFL draft was originally set to host the event in 2020 until it was postponed due to COVID. It's also
Vegas. Oh, sorry.
Wow. No, we love it when you do that. We're perfectly fine.
I just wanted to save you some time. Vegas all the way. Yeah, I remember that.
One for one for Sean. All right. Question two, Joe.
Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones were all quarterbacks selected in the first round of this draft. But for many breaking news hours before the draft that Aaron Rodgers was interested in being traded by the Packers stole the show. Name the city of that NFL draft.
Oh, is it Kansas City?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. It broke up.
You can give him the three options that are available there. That works.
Sorry.
It is a multiple choice.
I'm new to the show here. I'm just a cousin sub of the day here. Yeah. My bad. We're all first timers here.
Thanks for your patience.
Yes, sir. So your options are not Kansas City, or Detroit, Cleveland, or New York City.
Yeah, Let's go Detroit. It's Detroit or Cleveland. Cleveland.
Sorry, what's the final answer?
Cleveland.
Speaking of being a servant of others, he basically served him right into a correct answer.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Much love, my man.
All right, Sean, question three, and you will get no help from me on this.
Joe will be serving a one-question suspension for conduct detrimental to
trivia. I'm the teacher you wanted in geometry class, let me tell you.
Since the NFL draft stopped being held annually in New York City in 2014, this is the only city that has hosted the event multiple times. Name the city of those NFL drafts. Is it Philadelphia, Nashville, or Chicago?
Chicago.
Back to back when they started moving it around. All right, Sean, with a little help from your Hall of Fame friends, you got all three right. That means you've got four entries into the drawing, which Jesse will forget to do later in the show. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. You guys have a great day. Enjoy your weekend. Love listening to you.
That is Wildy and Tausch trivia. Jesse, as the arbiter and as Joe Thomas's boss, are you going to have some protests? Are there going to be some issues here with the slight helping hand
that Sean got on question
two. If I am a contestant who played Monday through Thursday, I might be a little peeved with the conduct during this session of trivia.
To be fair, that was my fault because I didn't give him the multiple choice because the notes I had were bulleted instead of multiple choice. So I thought it was merely giving me the ability to give a few hints along the way. But that was completely my fault. However,
interesting.
That is an interesting interpretation.
Typically in the courtroom, he's the boss, which makes him the judge.
Yeah.
But I am the jury. So we decide here in this courtroom.
And I'm the executioner at the end of trivia.
Oh, baby.
What I would ultimately say is Justin Garcia, Brad Nortman, and our other cousin subs of the day also could have provided hints if they wanted to for their single days that they filled in on the show. So...
But they chose not to, so
it's
their fault.
They don't love the fans as much as I do. I guess that's the moral of this story.
All right. Well, we love having you. Joe Thomas is our cousin sub of the day. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour. Not as late as we do normally, but we will still start it late. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.